Kosota. Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
There is an outpouring of my power, declares God, that has not been seen for a long time. And it's not coming in the great waves like it was in the past. Oh no, it's coming on individuals. It's my grace being poured out upon my body, declares God. For there's been leaders, and there's been those who have passed on the anointing, and there have been those who have displayed the anointing, but the anointing is going to come down into the individual parts of my body, declares God. And that anointing is going to flow from one cell to another cell. And those two cells are going to combine together, and they will pour out the glory. And it'll be a glory that covers, literally covers the earth with my goodness and my presence, declares God. For it's a glory that has never been seen in this way, not since the early days of the disciples, and they only began to walk in the edges of it, for they knew me as the Messiah, and people will come to know me as the Messiah, the deliverer, the one who has rescued them and redeemed them out of every situation. And when they get a hold of that wisdom, when they get a hold of that knowledge and that revelation of who I am, oh, they will be set free. And no longer will they look to one another, tell me about God, but they will know me for themselves, declares the Father. For I will let myself be known, and I will reveal myself to them, that you will hear testimonies of my outpouring everywhere you go. For where my name is spoken, there I will be, declares God, in my fullness. Yes. Yes, Lord. Fullness. You've known in part, but my fullness is on the way. My fullness is now beginning to overtake my church. And my fullness will take you into areas where you've never been before. And my fullness will fill you up to levels you've never known before. So open yourselves up. Get out of yourself and get into me, declares Jesus. For I am all that fills all, and I will fill you to overflowing. Oh, yes. Don't cling to the things that are past. Cling to that which I am holding out to you. Cling to my word, declares God. Cling to my spirit, declares God. For those things of the past that you're afraid to let go, they are weights. And they weigh you down to keep you from entering into what I have already provided for you. So step over. Step out of your past and over into my glory, declares God. For my anointing will set you free. It is release, release to the captives.
If you need prayer this morning, if you just want prayer, come forward now. Come forward now.
There's release. There's release in this house. There's release. Hira bahasada. Groto ho shide. Ye embahasada. Ki embahasa. Yete emboho satahara. Gro o shide inera. Yete emboho si. Ah, satahatana koda nehiraka. Release, release, release of the giftings, release of those things that I've placed in you, says God. The release of the things that you feel, that you know of, that you have held on to. Release of the giftings of my spirit, declares God. For you move in revelation knowledge. And there are those around that you have spoken revelation to, but they haven't received it yet.
because they still see you as mom. But the revelator, the revelator dwells in you. For you see things and you declare things before they come. And those things shall be. And when others receive the revelation from the revelator, it will be in them too. Oh, you're going to run. I keep seeing this image. You are going to run like a calf loose from the stall. Loose from all the things that have held you back and restrained you. To be loose to run and dance with joy. Joy. A joy that you've believed for, but there's coming a joy in you, independent of anything going on around you. But a joy of my spirit, and it's going to bring such power and such strength to you. You'll go and you will gasp for breath because it's going to take your breath away. But I'm going to fill you with my breath, declares God. In Jesus' name. Hora bana kate no koshiki yeda ba ha 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 ha. Glory, 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 glory to God. I'm loosing you from the pit. From what you've been in, because you've been drawn into the pit by those around you. For they refuse to come out, but they keep saying, oh, come in, come in, come in. And you enter into the pit, and then you can't get out either, but I am loosing you from that pit today, declares God, for joy shall fill you. And you will be known for your joy in the days ahead, declares God. I release it now. I release it. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, God. Oh, da ba ba ha 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 ka de. Gro mo ho si de ma ha da ba da ka de. Gre te in do ko si de. He ba ha ha. Ho ho. Ha 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 ha. Oh, ma pa pa ha da. Gro to no ko se ne na ka de. Ye da ta na ka de. Like a fire, like a fire, like a fire, like a fire. Fire! Shall burn out those last remnants, shall burn out that fear, shall burn out that trembling, shall burn out those things, and you'll say, yes, I can, yes, I can, yes, I can, because you're going to see with the eyes of my spirit, declares God, and you can. Oh, sheba pahada padakada. No longer will excuses be accepted, even when you give them. When you hear the excuses, you'll know how vacant they are, because the I can, the I am, lives and dwells in you, saith God. Oh,
ma pa 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 da ro to to ko se te ka de da ka de ro ma ha sa ne ya da ha la lo no si de be he da pa 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 da ro to da bo si de te e ne te he da ka ha la o si ki de ne da ka sa da ka de da ka de yena ma ha sa da no do po lo ko sa da there's release, there's release, there's release in the house. There is release in the name of Jesus. Release, release from the fear. Release from the fear, from the fear, from the fear. Oh, Mahasada, it's going to be a thing of the past. And when those things of old present themselves, you're going to say, what? What? Who is this? What is this? For it will have no place in you. No place, no place, no place. Say, no, 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 that's not me, that's not me, that's not me. Salakani in the kana. Oh, Salakana. Oh, la balaka salate, nilaka sala, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yenamaha salakane no kota, yenakate, in nilakate, joy! Oh, laughter is medicine. Oh, you. Oh, kasa, yeah, Sanita, you know, ha ha. Some of those things that come up, you're going to look up and go, ha ha, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, and it'll break. It'll break. The first ha, it'll break. Second ha, it'll leave.
All right.
The third ha, you'll rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, ha ha ha. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Oh, la bahasale, roto do cosini ni la cali ni la casale, yena cate de no do cosale. Aha! Oh, shene, shene casa de niri, roto da bahasala. Yeni indeed the hasada. Praise you, Jesus. What I'm getting on the inside, Brenda, God is establishing you. He's doing a deep work on the inside. He's establishing you because the winds blow in such contrary ways that you've got to be established. And when you're established, you won't be moved by the outward things. You're not going to be moved by this or by that, but you will be steady in me, declares God. And there's a stability that is growing and increasing, but I'm establishing it today. I'm establishing a root directly to my spirit that'll keep you stable in all your ways. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, shit, ne da kasada. Roto da barakasada na katere. De indituko sidaka da kahara kara yena na kasada na. There's a release of the things of the past, but I tell you, there's also a release from being moved by everything around you. There's a release, and it's by the Spirit of God. It's by the Spirit of the living God. Yena mahasada in Jesus' name. Oh, kasane, isede kasane, shira ko shira kade na kasane. Sometimes you've just got to be established. You've got to be set in yourself. Because if you're not, everything's going to come against you to move you, to move you, to make you go this way and that way. And you cannot be moved. In this day and age, you cannot be moved by the things going on around you. You have got to be built up on the inside. I know my God. I know in whom I believe. And God will set you in that place. There's people that will talk about set men. God has set men in ministries. He has set men in businesses, set men. And there are people that are set there because they establish things. Others may come and go. You're a set man. And things come and go, and they turn around and they go this way and that way. But it's always, you go back to the stable one. You know, we love the laughing, we love the cheering, we love the excitement. But I tell you, you go to that set person because they're going to be stable. And they're not going to move with this or that, but you can count on them. Debbie is a set person. When things are going on, you can look at her and say, Debbie, what's going on? And she's set because she understands things and she sees things. And she'll establish things that are going on. And she'll keep things on the straight track. And there's times we need to laugh. There's times we need to cry. You've got to do that. There's times you've got to go this way and go that way. But there's times when it gets so confusing, you say, I need an establishment. God says, I have a set man for that. And you need to be the set man for your life. You need to be your own set man. I'm establishing this. Job, with all the turmoil, all the things going on in Job's life, the one profound thing, he said several profound things, but the most profound thing Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. Regardless of what goes on around me, I know my Redeemer lives. I believe he saw what Abraham saw. I really do. I believe he saw the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe he saw the dead being raised back to life. That's why he wouldn't quit. He knew my Redeemer. The Redeemer is one who has paid the price and drawn you out of all your situations. And I believe Job saw that. But Abraham had a quality that Job didn't. See, Job was a set man in his life. Abraham was a set man in the earth. And he established what we know as Christ, the Messiah, that came through the lineage of Abraham. Because he's a set man in the earth. There's other set men. Great prophets, kings. David was a set man. Certain people. But there are set people that God gives in our life. If you will go to them, if you will trust them, if you rely upon them, they can help establish you when you don't know which way to turn. When you don't know which direction to go, set men will help establish the will of God in your life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, God, that it is your desire to establish us in Christ Jesus, in the God who became flesh, in the God who delivered humanity, in the God who has saved and redeemed us. Father, we praise you. You called us to be set in you. To be established in you, God, that we will not turn from one side to another, but we would follow you all the days of our life. Yes. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in this place. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Father, that you are here with us. God, we honor you. We honor your presence. We honor your person, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Are you ready for the word this morning? Let's share our favorite Bible verse together, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ
and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. You know, faith is our victory. See, we ask sometimes, well, how can God always lead us in triumph in Christ? Because faith is our victory. And faith, like love, never fails. You got to get a hold of that. Faith never fails. That's a powerful thing. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Now, if faith could fail, you wouldn't have confidence in your salvation because we're saved by grace. But it's because of our faith that we get the grace. So if we have the grace, then our faith is working. And it hasn't failed. Amen. We've been talking about that the last week we started this, and I hopefully this week we'll at least close it off. But the conflict between law and grace comes when people try to mix the two. And you hear a lot of people, do we live by the law or do we live by grace? Well, there's really no conflict until you try to confuse the two and work the two together. Then they have conflict. And we shared last week the parable that Jesus told about the new wineskin and the old wineskin, the new cloth and the old cloth. And he says they don't work together. You can't, they just do not work together. You can't put something new and something old because it'll burst it. If you put new cloth onto an old piece of material, when the new shrinks, it's going to tear the old. I mean, it's just, this is what Jesus is talking about, of law and grace. And Jesus came and brought a revolution of faith. He was literally trying to turn Israel back to the faith of Abraham, because faith had become captive to the law. Now, I'm just going to state some things and try to move on this morning, but law reveals righteousness, but the law cannot produce righteousness in you. Law is, this is a behavior that I ought to live by, and I know I ought to live to that level, but the law can never produce that level of living in you. Religion practices knowing about God without ever having contact with him. When faith becomes greater than religion, religion kicks faith out. We've been talking about that over several weeks. The law puts our focus on our performance, and that's the problem with law. The law always puts our focus on the performance and puts you under the dominion of the men who interpret the law. We say that in our judges. We can see it in politics. There's Antifa, is that how you said it? Antifa, the anti-fascism group, they've come out and publicly have said, and this is in their documentation, we believe that the use of violence, violent in riots, demonstrations, or even violence against individuals to the point of murder, is acceptable because we're trying to stop fascism. In other words, our goal is so good that we're free to do whatever we need to do to bring that vision to pass. See, they've created a new law. They're throwing out the old law, and they're like, well, the Bible says do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So I guess that's, if we respond in kind, that would be okay? No, it wouldn't be okay. Not by the grace of God. But if you go by wisdom of men, then they have just interpreted law. See, the problem when you get into that is who's king? Who interprets the law? They're interpreting the law the way it pleases them. And that's the problem with so many people, is we're busy interpreting the law the way it benefits us, and we're not interpreting it to be for every person. That's the problem with the law. He said, well, they're doing wrong things. They probably are, but they're doing wrong things and getting by with it because some people have determined that the law does not apply in that situation. But then in other situations, we're going to apply it to the full measure. See, the law always points out what hasn't been done, but your subject it puts you under the dominion of the men who interpret the law. I just learned the other day that when you pull up to a stoplight, they've got these white lines that go out. I always thought that was where your tire was supposed to rest. I found out the other day that if you cross over that line, they can give you a ticket because you are now officially in the intersection if you cross over that line. If any part of the car crosses over that line, you are now part of interfering with the intersection. But, you know, most of the time they don't enforce it. Well, they've chosen to not interpret the law.
But now, if someone wanted to, I mean, look at it next time you go to a stoplight. You're probably over the line, and probably every other car there is over the line, because in some of the cases, when you make a right turn that's legal, you have to get over the line to be able to see whether you can pass or not. So you're breaking the law to obey the law that says you can turn right on red if there's no cars coming. It's all how you interpret it. And so when we live by the law, we are putting ourselves under the authority of people based on, under the law of people, you don't know how they're going to interpret the law. And so you put yourself back under the dominion of men rather than the dominion of God. Now go to Romans chapter 3. We put our we stopped right at this point last week, and I want to try to pick up because, one, I don't have a lot of time, but I want to pick up here. Romans chapter 3, and I want to start in verse 19. It says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Let me kind of break this down, because again, we get into conflict with law and grace when you try to mix the two, when you try to confuse the two. And there's some fascinating things in here, and I'm hoping that I'm going to look at it from a little bit different perspective than what you're used to, because I like to make you think. But it says in verse 19, "We know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law." Did you know that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law? And if you are in Jesus Christ, you are not under the law. So in that first instance there, we know that the law speaks to those who are under the law. But the law doesn't speak to me because I'm not under the law, because I'm in Christ Jesus. So what do you, how do you interpret that? How do you go with it? Well, see, people will say, "You broke this law." Well, I might have, but yet the law doesn't apply to me because I'm in Christ Jesus. Well, that just doesn't sound right. Well, we're gonna get into that. See, the law says it to those who are under the law, speaks to those under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. The law comes to shut up. Because if you're saying, "Gordon, you broke this law." Well, if I broke the law, then, and you're using the law to judge me, I can use the law and judge you. And the Bible says if you've broken one part of the law, you've broken it all. So if we use the law to judge one another, to judge yourself, you're always going to be under condemnation. See, the law speaks to those who are under the law. If I start judging others by the law, I'm putting myself under that law because I'm holding them to that same standard, which means I've got to apply the same standard to me. So if I'm putting them under the law, I myself am violating the law because I cannot keep the law. So therefore, now we're both guilty. So do I have the right to speak into their life if I'm violating the law that I'm accusing them of violating? So you can get into a nasty little circle here. It says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So if we're under the law and I put myself under the law, all I'm doing is I'm proving that I'm guilty before God. And every time I use the law to justify myself, all I'm doing is I'm making myself guilty under God, because there's no way I can ever keep the law. For example, how many of you know the 613 commandments in the Old Testament? How many of you can quote the 10? See, but most people, they've done studies on this. Most Christians can't even do the 10 commandments. It's kind of like, do you really know your Bible? Can you list all the Bible books in order? All 66 of them. That's a good trivia test. Just go home this afternoon and see if you can I list all 66 books? Can I even remember the names of them, let alone get them in order?
But see, Debbie has a way of doing that because she learned a song years ago, had all the books of the Bible in order, and I am not going to try to sing it to you. And I'm not going to ask her to sing it to you, but music has a way of getting things into you. So she remembers all that stuff, but I still have to struggle every now and then. But I can get them, and if I have time, I can get them all in order. But see, these are if you're going to live under the law, oh, I know the Bible. Oh, really? See, there's too many Christians. They don't know if Psalms is New Testament or Old Testament. There's too many Christians that don't know if the Gospels are old or new. Think about it. That's scary stuff. And yet we're Bible believers. It's our book, but we don't know it. And see, when you say, well, I know the Bible, yeah, but you may not know it as well as the next guy, so that may not be a good thing. We're going to judge ourselves by it. Well, you just judge yourselves that you don't know as much Bible as what you may think you know. Andrew Womack got me the other day because God doesn't deal with me with chapter and verses. He never has. I asked God, Lord, I think one time he gave me a chapter and verse because I begged him. I said, Lord, you'd never do. I know these pastors, they can whip out this Bible verse and that Bible verse, and I can quote it. I just don't know where it is. I can't give you the address for it. And he says, you don't know your Bible until you know the address of the scripture. Oh, my goodness. So many of us would be in trouble, wouldn't we? We don't even know what book it's in. Some of us, we don't know if it's Old or New Testament. It's just a scripture. See, we don't know what we think we know. But if you think you know it, you'll never learn anything more because you already know it. So that's why the law comes to stop every mouth and that all the world may become guilty before God. So the law comes to establish our guilt. It doesn't come to justify you. It wasn't given to make you feel good. It didn't come to so you could condemn other people. The law came to make the whole world guilty before God. Verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the flesh, or by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Well, if the law came to condemn me, how can the law justify me? If he goes on, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. If law gives me the knowledge of sin, how can it justify me? Because the whole point of the law is to point out how ungodly I am, to show how unrighteous that I am. But he says in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. See, the Bible talked about the Messiah. Abraham saw the Messiah. Abraham got the revelation of Jehovah Jireh when he saw the ram, not just a goat, a ram, a male, developed male goat caught in the bushes. And God showed him, this is the sacrifice that's going to be the replacement of your son. Now, he had already seen it, or else he couldn't have understood the ram in the bushes. But because he had seen the death and the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced in it. And when he saw the ram, he understood, oh, that's what this means. This is my current application for what I saw in the future that God has made supply for me. So he had that. But that didn't come by law. Can you tell me where the law came from? The law came from Moses, not Abraham. Abraham was justified by faith. So was Moses justified by faith. Moses and Abraham both saw God face to face and lived to tell about it. But Moses gave the law. And the law was written, given by God, given by angels. But if you go back to it, the people told Moses, you talk to God. Moses, remember, Moses brought him out to the mountain, and he brought him out to meet with God. And God was going to make him a whole nation of priests, a whole nation of priests, honoring him and knowing him and walking with him, having fellowship with him, just like Moses did. And the people literally said, Moses, we're scared. You talk to God, and whatever you do to come back, whatever you tell us, we'll do it. Oh, is that pride? God, whatever you tell me, I'll do it. You don't even know what he's going to tell you yet. But in Christ, we know the first part is you got to die to yourself.
Well, that, if you haven't noticed, that takes a long process. That doesn't usually happen all at once. Most of us are dying very slowly to ourselves. And the more we die, the more Christ lives in us. But it's that, say it like this. Being a Christian is the easiest thing in the world. All you have to do is die. Dying's the hard part. That flesh kicks and screams and those things you've learned. I mean, they just holler out so loud, but you got to kill those things and submit them unto God. So by the law comes the knowledge of sin, but the law cannot deliver me from the sin because I need revelation. I need something different on that. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. I can't justify myself by keeping the law because I can never keep that law. For it gives the knowledge of sin. Now, verse 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed." Righteousness is a revelation. It's not a work of the law. Righteousness is a revelation. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets both spoke about this. Now, how did the law speak about it? Well, I think this is interesting. About 2 years ago, it finally dawned on my lightning quick mind that in the law is the sacrifice. Now, what does that tell me about the law? The law tells me we need a sacrifice. The law tells me that we cannot do anything by our own efforts to keep the law, that God plans for it. It's interesting, when you read the law in Leviticus, he talks about if the people sin, if they do this, if they do that, here's the sacrifice that they need to bring to offer. And when it gets to the leaders, it says when the leaders sin. I mean, he knows we're all going to sin. But, you know, leaders are more apt to sin, and their sin's going to be more public than any individual sin. You know, you can hide your sin, and it's just between you and God. If a leader sins, everybody knows about it. And if you don't know about it, somebody will love to tell you about it. You know, they just love to spread all that. Did you hear about so-and-so, how they fell? Oh, I'm just shocked. I'm praying for them. Wink, wink, wink. Yep. You know, yeah, they're praying all right. You know, they're praying for him to die, you know. But the law always spoke about a sacrifice. Now listen to this. The law demands a sacrifice. The law says when you sin, you've got to have, without a sacrifice, you're still under the sin. Now, Abraham saw that sacrifice in Jesus. When he saw that sacrifice, now he could accept the gift of righteousness because he saw the sacrifice that was going to forgive the sins of the world. Many Christians, our trouble is we've lived by the law and we walk under continual condemnation because we never realize there has to be a sacrifice. And we think that the sacrifice is keeping the law. That's not the sacrifice. Doing everything letter perfect is not the sacrifice. The sacrifice is in the blood of the Lamb. The sacrifice is in Jesus Christ. So the more we try to sacrifice by doing and obeying the works of the law, the more condemned you get because you become so sin consciousness, so legalistic that you can't accept the forgiveness because you're looking to yourself to be able to pay the price of forgiveness and sanctification, and you can't do it. So the law is witnessing that sin, the law, requires a sacrifice. And that sacrifice can only be Jesus Christ. The prophets prophesied about the coming Messiah all through there. You go to Psalm, in the Psalms, David talks about it, Isaiah talks about it, Jeremiah talks about it. You know, all the prophets talk about the coming Messiah, the coming Christ, how he would be crucified and raised from the dead on the third day, where he would be born, what he would do. You know, all these different things. The Bible is, the prophets are talking about this all the time. So they're building constantly, they're building this Christ, Messiah, the Redeemer, into the faith of Israel, and yet the people are stuck in the law. And then when Jesus came along and said, "I fulfilled the law, kill them." Why? They didn't even know it, but they needed a sacrifice.
Caiaphas even prophesied it's better for one man to die than for the nation to be destroyed. Prophesied, the Bible says, prophesied by the Spirit of God. This ungodly man prophesied by the Spirit of God, it's better for one man to die than for the nation to suffer. What's he saying? The law demands a sacrifice. And they didn't even know it, what they were doing, but they were fulfilling prophecy that the religious leaders would crucify Jesus. It wasn't the Romans. I want to get real technical, it wasn't even the Jews. Law requires a sacrifice. But it had to be offered by the high priest. Caiaphas was a high priest. So Caiaphas offered an innocent lamb as sacrifice so that the sins of the nation and eventually the world would be forgiven. Verse 22, even the righteousness, because this righteousness of God is revealed. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. How do you get faith in Jesus Christ? Now, who can have faith? It says here it's for all, or to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Well, now, what's he saying there? There is no difference because we're all under law. We're all under condemnation. We're all said that we're dead men walking, so to speak. The law condemns all of us. So there's no difference. We all come to God the same way. We all come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no alternative route. The priest didn't say, we're offering up one sacrifice every year for the sins of the nation. Oh, but if you want to, you can offer it up this other day because that's okay too. No, no, no. It had to be done on a certain day, on the Day of Atonement. It had to be done by the certain priest. It had to be done at the temple in Jerusalem or it didn't count. Again, another example, there's one way. And that's through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. It's for everyone because there's no difference because we're all under sin. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us falls short. So if you're going to use the law to justify yourself, you're just condemning yourself. And you're just going to keep condemning yourself because there's no escape for it. Because the more legalistic you become, the more you condemn yourself and the greater the condemnation. And now you're really lost because there's got to be a sacrifice. That's why Jesus came, to die in our place. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning, to restore our relationship with the Father. That's what Jesus came for. And there's no other way to establish that relationship with God except through the blood of Jesus. It's through him. And there's got to be a revelation of this or it won't work for you. And let me tell you, you can have the revelation. I wrote this down in some of my notes that I was looking at here lately. I'm going to really kick you in the side on this one. Do you know that it is impossible for you to have faith? Because faith, the Bible tells us, is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. Have you ever tried to work up faith? I gotta get faith. Gotta get faith. Gotta get faith. Faith, faith, faith. It's like we're the woman with looking for the lost coin. I know I had faith the other day. Where is it today? And see, we're trying to work up faith. You cannot have faith. It's a gift of God. Now I'm getting a little bit off topic here, but how do you get faith in God? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you will put the Word first place and you meditate on the Word day and night, faith comes. You don't have to work it. You have to get a revelation of it. See, this is why the sacrifice was always there in the law. When Moses gave the law, he said, here's the law. Oh, here's the sacrifice. Here's the law. Here's the sacrifice. What everybody saw was the law. And at the end of the year, they forgot about, they were welcome to the sacrifice, but they never saw the sacrifice. Now think about this. You've done everything you can to keep the law. Everything you can. You haven't eaten fat for a whole year. You know, you've kept all the dietary rules and all this stuff. The day before the Day of Atonement, because you've been so good at this, someone gives you a cookie and it has whipped lard in it. That's a Twinkie, by the way, if you didn't know that. Twinkies have whipped lard. Read the ingredients on it. Whipped lard. It's good. I like whipped lard. I just don't eat it out of the bowl. But all of a sudden, you fell. Now you need a sacrifice. Now here's this other guy. He hasn't paid any attention to the law all year long. He hasn't followed. He's had as many Twinkies as he wants. He buys whipped lard by the buckets. And he sits at midnight every night and just gorges on that whipped lard. And you think, oh my God, how could he do that? And on the Day of Atonement, he walks in to the temple. He's covered by the blood of the Lamb. Just as the guy who kept the law for 364 days of the year. See, they're both dependent not on keeping the law to justify them. They're both dependent upon the sacrifice. And it's so easy for us to forget about the sacrifice because we're looking at the law. I've got to do this. 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 Well, there is holiness. There is walking in righteousness. But you still need the sacrifice. Oh, I'm not even in Romans 8. We're not going to get there. Not even, I was going to at least read it to you today. But Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation under for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is no condemnation. I'm in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I am born again. There is no. See, the law doesn't apply to me anymore because if it did, I would always be walking around in condemnation. It doesn't mean that I never break the law because the law is good. It doesn't mean I don't break it. It just means I'm not living under it. I'm living by grace. I'm living under the sacrifice. One of the scriptures that talks about that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, that word cleansed there means continually cleansed. There's a full outpouring of the blood of Christ over us all the time, all the time, all the time. Whenever you sin, whenever you miss the mark, that blood just cleanses you all the time. And walking in faith is to acknowledge, Lord, but for you, I can't do anything. God, for you, you can do all things, and I can do all things through Christ Jesus. But it's because of the sacrifice. It's not because of my goodness. It's not because I've kept the law. Now, think about this. Your healing is not based upon how many healing scriptures you know. It's based on your faith in Jesus as your healer. You can write, we know a person that has written a couple books about faith. One of these days, they need to read them. Because they can teach it. They're not living it because we're around them. Worry, fear, they're consumed by it. Now, what they wrote is good, but she's still judging her life by the letter of the law, and she's still under the condemnation, even though she's written about freedom in Christ and all these wonderful things that God has done for us, but she's caught under the law because she hasn't received the sacrifice to continually cleanse her. Oh, I'm talking about walking in the Spirit. Let's go on. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24, Romans 3, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, we are justified freely, freely, freely. You didn't earn it. God says, I love you so much, I'm gonna rid you of this problem. And all you have to do now is to follow me. All you have to do is come after me. If you come after me and hear, the faith will arise in you and you'll do the right thing, but you've got to attend to the Word of God. You've got to attend to who God is. That is called walking in the Spirit because I'm looking at His Word and not the letter of the law. I'm not looking to my flesh. I'm looking to the Spirit of the living God to lead me and guide me. Finally, in Romans 3:28, therefore, I'll end with this. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Why? Well, we just said you cannot be justified by the deeds of the law. No matter how much good you do without a sacrifice, you're still trapped in your sin. Because law demands a sacrifice.
It's in there. Every time you sin, there's got to be a sacrifice. A turtle dove. Two turtle doves. A goat. A sheep. A ram. An ox. There's always got to be a sacrifice. And see, the thing is, with what Jesus is talking about, what Paul's talking about, when we understand Jesus is that sacrifice, you are free from keeping the letter of the law. You are free from the condemnation of it because you've received the sacrifice. And the sacrifice says it's all under the blood. You don't have to wait a year because that blood is continually cleansing us. Continually. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Now, see, when that, to walk in that cleansing, you've got to walk under the blood. You've got to walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, oh, you're conscious. Oh, Lord, I know I don't do everything right. Lord God, but I thank you that you bless me. I thank you, Father, for that sacrifice because my focus is always on the sacrifice. You know, it's not just on, oh, God, I blew it again. It's like, oh, God, thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for my mercy. Because some people think that if you're really in Jesus, you'll never, ever get sick again. And if you ever got sick again, then it's because you've missed God somewhere. That's just as dumb as saying that you'll never sin again once you accept Christ. You'll never, ever make another mistake your whole life. How many know that's not true? Well, if you're going to sin and you have been born again, you'll probably get sick because you don't have a glorified body yet. Hello. But praise be to God, we can overcome even the flesh. Oh, I don't know if I can stay out of Romans 8 or not. Because Romans 8 gets down and says, the Holy Spirit quickens our mortal flesh or makes alive our mortal flesh or our dead flesh. So there's even a cure for that. Well, I just don't see how that is. See, you need to get in the Word. Because the Word explains it. You need to follow after Jesus Christ. Heart, soul, mind, and body. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to quit there because I don't dare go on any further. But I want you to understand, we are not under the law. We are in grace. And we're in grace not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done at Calvary. What he did applied the grace to us if we will receive his blood and his sacrifice. Amen. By grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. So we get in big arguments. Is that grace or faith he's talking about? Both. Because you don't get grace without faith. And you only get faith from God. But all of us have in us an inner witness that God's real and that God's alive. We just need to hear the word, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. All you need is that one scripture. You can be born again. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit just in that one scripture. You can be blessed financially just with that one scripture. You can be healed with that one scripture. You don't need 1,000 of them, although God gave us a whole book explaining it to us. I guess because some people are slow, like me. I had to hear it a lot of different ways. But I heard my Savior's voice. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll meet your needs. I'll be there for you. I'll never let you be alone again. To know that our Savior is continually with us is faith. And it applies the grace to our lives. Amen. Let's stand. Father God, we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Christ that purifies us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of faith that we can believe in you. We can trust you. Because, God, you've given that to us by your Spirit. You've given us the ability to believe on you. So, Father, let your word
have its work in us. Lord, make us attuned to your word of what you have spoken in the Bible and what you speak through the Bible to us by your Spirit to confirm what you have written, that we would know your voice and it would create more faith and develop our faith and grow our faith and increase our faith, that we could know you and know the fullness of you in us. Lord, this is our prayer. This is our cry. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.